Chapter 33. High above the battlefield, safe in the shelter of the command shuttle, Kylo watched impassively as the siege cannon went dark, its fires spent. The massive door protecting the remnants of the resistance was riven by a fissure down its center, and huge chunks of stone fell from the edges of the wound. Beside Kylo, Hux surveyed the damage with a mixture of awe and pleasure. This was the future, he knew. Resistance dead-enders, and New Republic revanchists fleeing the First Order's might until there was nowhere left to run, then cowering in holes on forgotten worlds. It would do them no good. They would be dug out by Hux's machines and dragged out by his troops. It would be slow work, but never tedious, because he would enjoy every engagement, surrender, and execution. The galaxy had been hobbled by disease for far too long, but Hux had sterilized the infection. Now he would cut out the dead tissue. Ren, he sensed, shared his satisfaction at seeing the goal they had pursued for so long finally at hand.
General Hux, advance, he said. No quarter, no prisoners.
The resistance officers inside the mine turned away from the enormous light and heat of the blast, keeping their faces averted until the shaking and the rumble of falling stone had subsided. Leia lowered her hands from her face and found sunlight streaming in through the breached door. It lent a strange beauty to the gloomy chamber within, as if the site had been transformed into a cathedral. Connix looked up from her console, where she'd been monitoring their transmissions.
There's no response.
Dacey looked grave.
Our distress signal has been received at multiple points, she said. But no response. They've heard us, but nobody's coming.
Leia's face fell. She gathered herself, reflexively reaching back into her memory for 100 speeches she'd made during 100 desperate battles. For words that would give these brave fighters the strength and courage they needed to keep on. But there was nothing. And she wasn't going to peddle false hope to these men and women. They deserved better.
We fought to the end, but the galaxy has lost its hope, she said. The spark is out.
An awful silence hung over the mine. Then it was broken by slow, deliberate footsteps from a darkened tunnel in the back of the chamber.
Luke Skywalker walked into the room, clad in black Jedi robes. His hands, one flesh and blood, one mechanical, reached up for his hood and pushed it back. His dark beard was just beginning to gray, and his eyes were a bright blue, studying each of the resistance fighters in turn.
Leia watched her brother approach in disbelief. She was dreaming, and for a moment that made her angry. Here at the end, her mind had broken and left her seeing things. But no, everyone else in the room was looking where she was looking, their expressions amazed.
Luke, she said.
Master Luke,
C-3PO said with evident delight, winning a nod and a smile from his former master. That finally convinced Leia. Droids didn't hallucinate. Apparently, C-3PO's databanks lacked guidance about the proper etiquette for greeting long-vanished masters who'd somehow conjured themselves halfway across a galaxy. For once, the protocol droid chose to remain silent. His photoreceptors followed Luke as he crossed the room to stand before his sister.
I know what you're going to say,
Leia said.
I changed my hair.
It's nice that way, Luke replied, and then his smile faded. Leia, I'm sorry.
I know. I know you are. I'm just glad you're here at the end.
Her brother's expression was grave.
I came to face him, Leia. But I can't save him.
Not long ago, she knew, this would have pierced her to her core. But now, there was nothing but a dull ache.
I know, she said. I held out hope for so long. But now I know. My son is gone.
Luke's eyes were warm, with understanding and love, but something else, too. It was knowledge, she sensed. A knowledge vast, deep, and strange, but also comforting. It had changed him, remade him utterly. Yet the Luke of her youth remained, at the heart of whatever he had become.
No one's ever really gone, he said quietly, leaning forward to kiss her on the forehead as he took her hands in his.
When they touched, she immediately understood. A slight smile played at the corners of her mouth, and her eyes shone with the secret the two of them now shared.
Brother and sister stood like that for a moment. Then Luke let go of Leia's hands. Offering C-3PO a wink, he walked with those same unhurried steps into the light pouring into the Resistance's refuge, out through the shattered door, and onto the surrounding plain.
Leia opened her hand and smiled at the sight of Han Solo's dice resting in her palm.
Working quickly, Finn rigged a makeshift travoy out of broken hull plating and wiring and strapped Rose to it. He didn't have time to process what she'd said to him before she kissed him or to worry about how badly she might be hurt. He had to focus on getting her to a safe place. Fortunately, he remembered his survival training. Or, more accurately, he drilled enough that it had become muscle memory, with his hands knowing what to do even while his brain stumbled and fumbled. It occurred to him that, ironically, he had Phasma to thank for that. There was a long crack in the door to the old Rebel base now. Finn double-checked that Rose wouldn't fall off the contraption he'd rigged, tilted the travoy, and began to pull it behind him, hurrying across the salt plains toward the distant lines of the trenches. He kept glancing at the towering walkers, fearing that at any moment one of the huge, animal-like heads would tilt their way and open fire. But the walkers simply trudged along without taking any apparent notice of them. After a moment, he realized why.
They don't think we matter, because they know they've won.
The biggest problem was more mundane, crossing the plain. The battle had opened craters in the salt crust, bowls of red, some of them still crowned with faint coils of smoke. Around them, the sodium layer had been shattered into chunks that grabbed at Finn's feet and left the travoy bogged down. Elsewhere, the crust was intact, but dangerously slippery. The wind had picked up, and tiny flying nodules of salt stung Finn's face. He settled into a determined jog, a pace he hoped wouldn't exhaust him or cause Rose too much pain, and tried not to think about what would happen if he got her back to the shattered base. In all likelihood, any medical droid that wound up treating Rose would belong to the First Order, and he'd have accomplished nothing but ensuring she'd be in good health on the day of their execution. But what was he going to do instead? Leave her to die? And besides, Rey was still out there somewhere. As long as that was true, they had hope. He wouldn't stop believing in that or in her. The trenches were close now, lines of deeper red snugged up against the mountainside.
Dragging me?
Rose mumbled behind him.
What's that?
He asked. Finn was breathing hard now and stopped for a moment to make sure he wasn't hurting her any more than he had to.
Rose peered at him, eyes hazy. When we met, I was dragging you, she said quietly, and gave him a smile. Now,
You're dragging me.
He nodded and smiled back at her, then hurried for the trench.
We've come a long way, haven't we?
He said. He reached the trench and half fell into it, then slid the travois over the lip as gently as he could. Rose was peering out at the shield door, puzzled.
Who is that?
She asked. Finn looked and saw a man in robes walking across the salt plain. He was making his way toward the line of walkers, looking for all the world like he decided this battlefield was the best place in the galaxy for a stroll. Hux saw the lone figure on the plain and peered down in disbelief as the man walked, seemingly unconcerned, into the teeth of enough firepower to level a good-sized city. Was the man blind and about to be revealed as spectacularly unlucky? Had some member of the Resistance opted to commit suicide in dramatic fashion? Amused, he glanced over at Ren. And whatever he had been going to say died on his lips, because the new Supreme Leader looked like he was staring down at a ghost.
Stop! Kylo said.
His order was swiftly relayed, and the mighty line of the First Order walkers came to an obedient halt. They were barely 400 meters from the shattered door, and the Resistance soldiers huddled within. The man stopped. He looked up into the sky, and suddenly the hair on the back of Hux's neck rose. Somehow, he knew that the man down there on the scarred landscape was looking straight at them. His gaze fixed unerringly, not just on the shuttle, but on one person inside. Hux looked at Ren's face and saw terror, naked and undisguised. That fear meant weakness and opportunity.
Supreme Leader?
Hux asked, careful to ensure his tone was that of a solicitous underling.
Shall we advance?
I want every gun we have to fire on that man,
Ren said.
Do it!
The first walker to receive the order opened fire, its chin guns hammering away in succession. As flames engulfed the lone man on the battlefield, the other walkers began to fire. As Ren stared wide-eyed at the tumult of fire below, Hux watched him, his mind calculating. His father, Brendel, had told him how the Jedi had maintained their power by seizing Force-sensitive infants and training them as warriors. The Jedi had agreed to lead the Republic's clone armies, but turned on Chancellor Palpatine and tried to seize control of the Senate. The clones, ironically, another order of soldiers trained from infancy, had prevented this betrayal, turning their guns on their former generals. The Jedi had deserved their fate, Brendel said, but there was much to learn from their methods, as there was from the training regiments of the Republic's clones. The Elder Hux had forged elements of both orders to create an army of soldiers trained as soon as they left the cradle. An army that had originated under the Empire, but achieved its full glory under the First Order and the younger Hux. So in a sense, the First Order stormtroopers were the Jedi's legacy. Hux smiled at that. It would be the Sorcerer's final legacy then. The First Order had thrived despite Snoke's weakness for mystical nonsense. But that was because Snoke had kept himself largely shrouded from view, letting his directives speak for him. Ren had never been so wise. He was incapable of it, a slave to his emotions. That wouldn't do in a supreme leader. It would endanger all Hux and his technologists had created. Well, Hux wouldn't allow that. And the more delusions Ren suffered, the easier it would be to arrange for him to be sidelined and eliminated. As the Falcon raced back toward the battlefield, Rey hurried up the ladder from the gun turret and joined Chewbacca in the cockpit.
dread knotted her stomach as she saw the massive crack in the shield door and the lines of First Order war machines so close to it. Then, all the Walker guns began firing at once, focused on one precise point. Rey and Chewbacca exchanged a bewildered glance. "Better go around the back," Rey suggested. The Wookiee barked his agreement. There was no sign of the man who'd begun his walk across the ruined plain. Just a massive pillar of roiling fire and smoke. A conflagration renewed by the energy poured into it amid the continuous thunder of the First Order guns. In the command shuttle, Kylo Ren had gotten to his feet and was staring down at the strange spectacle below. His fists were clenched, and there were tears in his eyes. "More?" he yelled. Hux looked at him uneasily. "We've surely..." he began, but Kylo cut him off. "More!" he howled. The firing continued, the fusillade of energy tinting the white salt around the blast point orange and red. "Enough!" Hux said. "Enough!" The First Order commanders looked at one another uncertainly. Kylo said nothing, collapsing into his chair. After a moment, Hux's order was obeyed, and the firing stopped. "You think you got him?" Hux asked acidly, not bothering to hide his scorn. Far below the shuttle, the column of smoke and flame continued to whirl and churn. Kylo stared down at the salt plains, but his gaze couldn't penetrate the aftermath of the destruction. Hux eyed Ren with disdain. "Now, if we're ready to get moving, we can finish this."
"Sir?"
the shuttle's commander said tentatively. Beside him, Kylo raised his eyes almost unwillingly, as if what was happening below them wouldn't become real if he didn't look. But that only worked in ancient myths, the kind of stories told to entertain children. Out of the fiery column below stepped Luke Skywalker. His robes not so much as singed, his gaze still locked on the shuttle. He brushed invisible dust from his shoulders, his face radiating contempt. Kylo got to his feet, eyes riveted on his uncle.
"Bring me down to him," he ordered the pilot. "And don't advance our forces until I say."
"Supreme Leader, don't be distracted," Hux urged. "Our goal is to kill the Resistance. They're helpless in the mine, but every moment we wait..."
Kylo harnessed the Force, used it to seize Hux, and hurled him into the wall of the command shuttle's cabin. Hard enough to shut him up, certainly, and maybe to kill him. He didn't particularly care which.
"Right away, sir,"
the shuttle commander said hastily.